This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. What do you recall of the 1960s or the 1970s in America? A new book by a local author may help you. Remember, the book is Bell Bottoms to Gucci, and the author is Ellen Everman. She joins us in the studio now. Welcome, Ellen.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And your first novel, Pink Dice, which was released in 2008, you explored the world of the 1950s. And now here in Bell Bottoms to Gucci, you're taking a character through some periods in the 60s and in the 70s. And part of the story is set here in Cincinnati. What are your memories of Cincinnati in that period?
During the 70s, I had a lot of memories. When I was 19, I came to work at Action Housing for Greater Cincinnati. It was an office set up by the city of Cincinnati. It was part of the Great Society program that was first envisioned by JFK and then implemented by Lyndon Baines Johnson. And so it was a real thrill to work there. And one of the most fascinating things about working there was the gentleman I worked for. He was the president. His name was Landon L. Wallingford, and the L stood for Longworth. He was Nicholas Longworth's grandson. So I heard so many stories, historic stories. He and the gentleman who ran the office, Joseph Saran, they were called the Gold Dust Twins back in the 20s and 30s when they were young men working in Cincinnati. And they would see me writing, and they said, Ellen, you know, you have a gift. So they were always regaling me with stories about early Cincinnati. And then, of course, about the Longworths.
Which they have a long history in Cincinnati. And
yes.
You had you include these folks in the story. You have some local tie-ins in the book. One is inspired, of course, by your experience working at Action Housing for Greater Cincinnati, which was in the old Federal Reserve building.
Yes.
At 4th and Race Street downtown. Yes. And that led you to the Longworth family and Alice Roosevelt Longworth. So before we have you tell us about your personal experience, let's talk about the fictional character Patty from your book.
Right.
And this sort of encounter. There's a section that I've marked in your book that I'd like you to read for us midway down page 88 there.
Yes, I know exactly where you want me to start.
Let's listen.
All right. Excuse me. One of my most memorable experiences while working for Renovated Housing. The outside line of the receptionist phone rang. I picked it up. Good morning, Renovated Housing for Greater Cincinnati, I chirped. Good morning, indeed. I detected a British accent, or maybe an affected British accent. I would like to speak with Andrew. I'd never heard a request sound more like a command. Mr. Allenwood, ma'am? Yes, of course, Mr. Allenwood. I buzzed Mr. Allenwood to pick up on line one that blinked on all buttoned phones. I listened as best I could as Mr. Allenwood's sonorous tone softened a bit. A more caring bass replaced his usual loud baritone. Yes, Aunt Alice, I know. I understand that, but I'll take care of it post-haste. Well, how are you anyway? You don't say. I hadn't heard, but we get news here late, you know. Yes, 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 tis so. I know I should have moved out of Cincinnati a long time ago, but it's my ancestral home, of course, and I can... Pish posh, Aunt Alice. I take umbrage at that remark. Silence, then. Well, of course. We'll talk another time. I hope you begin to feel better soon. Good day. What's that, do you say? No, my gout hasn't returned for a while. Yes, I will. No, I haven't eaten sweets in almost a month, and it's killing me. Not at all. Have your secretary there in Washington send the papers on to me in triplicate. Oh, and say hello to Nixon for me. There was a distinct pause with a shrill voice coming out of his receiver, audible all the way into the reception area. Mr. Allenwood could be a devil sometimes. Who cares if he quoted Teddy? I'm sure no one noticed, he answered. More shrill noises coming out of the phone. He is a damned smart president, regardless. Another long pause. Aunt Alice, if he's a real criminal, then how did he get into the White House? I ask you that. Still another pause. I say, have you been tippling already this morning? Of course I still smoke, and you do too. My dear Aunt Alice, I bid you good day.
And, of course, Aunt Alice is?
Alice Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt's eldest daughter.
Who married Nicholas Longworth.
The third. Yes, because the original Nicholas Longworth was the second. That does confuse a lot of people.
So tell us about your personal experience with that family.
Well, the first time she called, I was, as I said, I was only 19 years old, clueless, unformed. And I got a call, and it was, she asked for Mr. Wallingford, or she asked for Landon. And in her faux British accent, is London there? It was a broken-up voice. She was 80-some years old then. She was the Grand Dame of Washington at that time. And so, anyway, I heard a similar conversation that I just read. And he comes out later, and he walks up to me, puts his hand on my shoulder, and he says, Ellen, I know that you're only interested in boys and the Beatles and rock music, but you have just brushed up against history. Do you know who Teddy Roosevelt is? Well, I told him, yes, of course I did. And he goes, that was his eldest daughter. You go home and tell your parents. How old are your parents? He was always telling me to go home and tell my parents. 72 years old he was at the time. And he, I think in a way, was trying to leave a legacy through me. He was always coming to me telling stories. So I felt like I had to do something about that.
And you have some other local connections in this story. Your main character, Patty, is from Northern Kentucky. She
yes.
graduates from UC Berkeley and then comes back to Cincinnati after being upset by protests, assassinations, the Kent State shootings, and then transitions from hippie life to yuppie life.
She morphs into a yuppie, and that was a common phenomenon in those days.
And you also connect the Newport Mafia
yes.
into this story. How do they factor into the story?
Well,
line?
There is a Kennedy assassination conspiracy theory in the story, and Mafia is involved in that. And but Patty is invited to go to the Beverly Hills Supper Club. And when she goes there, she encounters a woman in one of their bars. And it's, as a matter of fact, it's a lot of people's favorite chapter. And so who she's describing is a lady that was inspired by April Flowers.
Like a lot of authors that send us their books and we look them over, there's a press kit and they have all the different comments about what the book is and why we would like the book. And one description of this book says that it's an ode to baby boomers.
Yes.
Talk about being a baby boomer and the impact on America that you think your generation has had.
Quite a big impact, I think, back in the 60s. And starting in 1964 specifically, which is when my book begins, there was a distinct feel with the draft and the Vietnam War that wasn't going too well that we were moving into fascist waters. And so the campus hippies mainly, there were a lot of different kinds of hippies, but I write about the campus hippies and the peace and love and no war hippies. And hell no, we won't go, hippies. And so they protested, they agitated for no war and for civil rights and for free speech on campus. People don't realize that in 1964, the University of California, Berkeley, they were not allowed to talk about politics on campus, if you can imagine. So my character, David, who is Patty, the main protagonist, he is her Svengali. He is based on Mario Savio, who was the kingpin of the civil rights and free speech movement in 1964 in UC Berkeley.
Did you personally go through a transformation from hippie to yuppie?
I did somewhat. I was never into protest because in 1964, I was only 13 years old. So I had to do a lot of research for the first of the book. But that second half of the book is pretty much based on my experiences and the corporate experiences that I had here in Cincinnati. I worked for a huge corporation, and that was a lot of fun.
And what was the type of experience, excuse me, the research that you had to do outside of your experience to reconnect with that period?
With the 60s and the UC Berkeley, I had to do a ton of research. And thank goodness we live in an age of Google. And Mr. Google helped me a great deal. And I found pictures. And much of what happened to Patty has happened to real characters in history. So I drew from history heavily in the first part of the book.
The book is called Bell Bottoms to Gucci. It's a novel by local author and creative writing instructor Ellen Everman. Thanks so much for coming in and chatting with us today.
Thank you, Michael.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.